This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40, and can be found on page 1028 of the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it came time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord.
I would like you to turn in your Bibles to page 1028, a passage that Chris read for us just now. I'll ask you a few questions about this passage as we go through it, just to get us warmed up. Can you tell me which two of my children were named after characters in this passage? Yes, Ian?
Anna.
Very good. You can have a chocolate coin. There you go. And, you see John's how much. Go on. Guess the other one. Yes, very good. I thought people would say Mary, but well done. You obviously know me well enough. Noah Simeon Smith, there we go, is the boy. Well done, John. Extra points. Now, we're not going to talk about my family. We're going to listen to God's word. So let's pray, and then we'll look at this together. Heavenly Father, we read in this passage that your son grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and that the grace of God was upon him. We pray the same in him for ourselves, that we might grow and become strong in Jesus, that we might be filled with the wisdom of his Spirit, that your grace would be upon us because of your great love for us in him. I ask this, therefore, in his name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with something that may seem a strange question. What kind of things make people sad? I'll be hands up. Yes, Anne. when anybody passes away, that's right. When people die, that makes us very, very sad, doesn't it? We've just heard this morning of someone, there you go, who used to be in our congregation who died. I visited a man this week, shared with him the good news of the Lord Jesus, and 2 days later he died. Death is a part of the saddest part of our experience, isn't it? What other things, though, make us sad? What other kind of things go wrong with our world, make us sad? Debbie? When we see people in pain or suffering. Very good. Good catch. What else? Yes, dearest? When people are horrible to us. Absolutely. Here, have a chocolate so you don't think about it too much. There we go. When people are horrible to us. What else? Oh, Mike?
When England play Australia with a cricket.
Should I give him a coin? I was disappointed with that draw. I was hoping for a clean sweep. But anyway, I suppose one draw isn't too bad. There are some minor sadnesses, aren't there, in our lives? Well, those are some good answers. There are some little things that irritate us. There are some difficult things in relationships. We get ill, and the saddest thing of all is that we die. Why is the world like that? Why do we live in a world where there are so many things that make us sad? Rosalind? Because the world is fallen. And what do we mean by the world being fallen?
It's under God's curse because of man's sin.
It's under God's curse because of man's sin. Admirably put, Rosalind. Thank you very much. That's right. The world is a sad place because we turn away from God. And because we turn away from God, it becomes a broken world. And all of our lives have something of that flavour, that sadness, because all of us have turned away from God. And God's people, Israel, had experienced that sadness in a particular way. They had been chosen by God, and yet they had rejected his word again and again, and they'd come to know great sadness as a nation. Now, the two characters, Simeon and Anna, in this passage, what were they looking for? What were they looking for in that world that was so sad? And I'd like a quote for each one of them, if you want to get another one of my coins. So what was Simeon and Anna? What was Simeon looking for, first of all? Yes, Jeremy.
The consolation of Israel.
The consolation of Israel. There you go. Consolation is what we need when we're sad. So Simeon knew that God had promised one day the sadness would end, and he was looking for that day when the one that God had promised would come and bring consolation. What was Anna looking for, Noah? He's trying to say redemption with a little bit of maternal help. Now, redemption, that's a funny sort of a word. You redeem something that's been captured, taken into slavery, and you pay a price called a redemption price to set it free again. Well, Anna was speaking to all those who were looking forward to the day when Jerusalem would be set free, when all the sadness that had come to them because they'd turned away from God, that had meant they'd become slaves of wrongdoing, slaves of sin, when the one would come who would set them free. So this passage is about how God sends his son to console us in a sad world, to redeem us from a world captured by sin, to redeem us individually from our own sins. It's a passage of great hope and encouragement. As we look at these characters who were there surrounding the baby Jesus, his parents, Joseph and Mary, Simeon, and the exceedingly aged Anna, well, then we will learn something from them about what it means to put our faith in Jesus right here and now in the midst of our own sin and sadness, and to discover the consolation and redemption that God gives us in Jesus. This is what we need to live by faith in this world right now and for this next year as God's people here. So let's think of the characters in the story who surround the Lord Jesus. Now, first of all, we'll think about Joseph and Mary. Why did Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple? I haven't got that many children this morning. We do need some of you grown up, so that's good. Yes, Tony? To present him to the Lord, very good. And why, though, did they want to present him to the Lord?
Because that was according to the law.
Because that was according to the law of the Lord. How many times in this passage is the law of the Lord mentioned as the reason for Joseph and Mary taking Jesus to the temple? You only get one coin for the right answer. It's at least three. How many? Go on, be bold. Annabelle. Four. It's at least four. You're nearly there, if that gives you a bit of a hint. Five. There we go. I was collective. So, but look at that. It's really striking, I think. It's there in verse 22, the law of Moses. Verse 23, the law of the Lord. Verse 24, the law of the Lord. And then verse 27, because they'd been brought Jesus to do for him according to as the custom of the law required. And then verse 39, done everything required by the law of the Lord. It's only 19 verses, and five times Luke tells us Joseph and Mary did what the Bible told them to do. In other words, Joseph and Mary had an obedient faith. Joseph and Mary knew the scriptures. Joseph and Mary knew what the Word of God required of them as Jewish believers living just with what we would call the Old Testament, what they had to do with their newborn son. And what were the four things that they did with him that are there in that passage? Just call them out if you can see them. We've heard one already. They dedicated him to the Lord, just like Hannah dedicated Samuel. So Joseph and Mary dedicated Jesus. What were the other three things? Thomas?
Offer a sacrifice,
that's right, the redemption sacrifice. Oh, yes. They named him Jesus. Very good. Well done for picking up on that one. That wasn't in the law, but that was in the command of the angel. That's right. So it redeemed him, named him, dedicated him. And the fourth one? Well, actually, yes, but I hadn't thought of that one, so you can have an extra one. They five things then. There we go. Because the other one was the purification rite that Mary had to go through having given birth to a baby boy. So very practically, they read their Bibles and they did what God said. Do you think that's got anything to say to us today? That's the same for us, isn't it? Whether we're mums and dads bringing up our children, whether we're just following the Lord ourselves, or whether in some wider family unit, God gives us his word so that we might obey it. Ian said before, it's a great time at the beginning of the year to review how we're reading the Bible. If you're not reading the Bible, it's difficult to know how you're going to obey it. Now, of course, we study God's word when we come together in church. But all of us, from infancy right to old age, need to be reading God's word for ourselves if we're going to know what God requires of us so that we might have a faith that is obedient, just like Joseph's and Mary's. Has God got some work to do in us this year on that one? You see, the New Testament says to us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And my prayer for us as a church is that we might have a more obedient faith, obedient to God's word in 2018. Well, let's move on to Simeon. Who inspired Simeon, according to this passage? Who inspired Simeon? Oh, yes, go on. Go for a second one. The Holy Spirit. Very good. And he's still eating the first one. Right. How many times is the Holy Spirit mentioned? You're worried now, because when I ask you about how many things there are, you think, oh, I don't want to miss one. How many times is the Holy Spirit mentioned? Yes, Noah? Three. Very good, boy. Well done. Well, he should answer the question. He is named in this passage, and you're not. That's right, the Holy Spirit inspired Simeon. I'll put down the clicker somewhere. I've lost it. What have I done with it? Oh, no, it's here. There we go. Oh, dear me. So the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him. The Holy Spirit moved him. And some of us were in church just before Christmas. We had a real issues service looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the one overriding thing we looked at there was how the Holy Spirit is like a searchlight that shines his light on someone else. Who's that someone else? Jesus. The purpose, the role of the Holy Spirit is to so shine his light on Jesus that we see who he is and we trust him and we follow him as our Lord and receive him as our Savior. Because the Holy Spirit filled Simeon, he praises God for Jesus. The Holy Spirit fills him, he takes Jesus into his arms and he praises him. And he praises the God who has given his son. Simeon has a spirit-filled faith. And he says this very famous prayer. Those of you who've been Anglicans for a long time, what do we call it? The Nunc Dimittis. Well done. You can always spot the long-term Anglicans. A very famous prayer we used to use every evening service, every evening prayer. And rightly so, because it's a spirit-filled prayer of faith in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at those words. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. When the Holy Spirit fills us and we put our trust in Jesus, we have God's peace. We're ready to die. That doesn't mean we're about to die. It just means we know that when we do, God will welcome us and we'll be at home with him forever. Now, people think Simeon was a very old man because he said this. Actually, Luke doesn't tell us how old Simeon was. He might have been a young man like me. I was once. We can all have God's peace and know that whenever it comes, our death will be a homecoming. Because if God's Spirit has filled us so that we've trusted Jesus, then nothing will keep us away from the Father. Simeon knew that, and we can as well. My eyes have seen your salvation. In other words, he's holding Jesus. My eyes have seen your salvation. God's salvation is Jesus. Jesus is God's salvation. Salvation isn't just something out there. Salvation comes to us in Jesus. And God did this in public. If you've come this morning, perhaps you've been dragged by a family member you're staying with over New Year, and you're not quite sure about this Christianity thing, well, look into it. God didn't do this in a corner somewhere. He did it in history, in public. And he gave a record of it in the scriptures. So that if you were to read Luke's book, you would find out who Jesus is for yourself. That he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That is, for all the nations, even the Australians, can know who God is because the Holy Spirit has come and shone a light on him. And he is the one who comes as the Savior of his own people, Israel, a glorified fulfiller of the promises that God had made. Well, there's much more in Simeon as well. I'm going to move on from those. But Simeon was filled with the Spirit, and it led him to lay hold of Jesus by faith and to glorify him. We can be filled with the Spirit and lay hold of Jesus and glorify him. My prayer is that in our church, we would have a spirit-filled faith in 2018, more so than we have done. And what will that look like? Well, it'll look like us giving greater glory to Jesus, having greater confidence in him, knowing his peace, being ready to live for him to the very extent of our being. And then finally, comes Anna. What do we know about Anna? Anna, what do we know about Anna? Do you know? No? Okay, what do we know about Anna? Her age. And how old was she? Do you need to put your reading glasses on, Robin, to answer that? Yeah, 84. Actually, we don't quite know. It could mean that she was married and probably would have got married at sort of 13, 14, and then was married for 7 years and then was widowed for 84 years, in which case she'd be about 100 or just over 100. Either way, she was pretty ancient, and I don't think we can get away from that. What was she doing? What was Anna doing? Who was she speaking to? And there are two right answers here, not just one. Yeah, who was she speaking to?
Joseph. Mary and Joseph.
Well, yes, she was speaking to Mary and Joseph and to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So, there you go. Have one of mine. Rosalind's already had one. Go on, you want another one? There you go. Who else was she speaking to? Well, I'll tell you, it's not obvious, actually. She was talking to God. She was praising God and she was talking to people about Jesus. Well, we need to do that as well, don't we? We need to be praising God just like she was. That's there. She was praying and worshipping night and day. She gave thanks to God and then she spoke about the child. She had a vocal faith. And again, my third prayer for us as a church this year is that we would as well. That when we come to church, we would open our lungs to give praise to God. And not to make a good noise, but because our hearts long to glorify Him. That we've got a mission coming up. That when we go out into our daily lives, we would be ready, like Anna, to speak about Jesus to everyone that God puts in our path. The psalm said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Why don't we speak about Jesus? Do we really believe in Him deeply in our hearts? If we believe like Anna did, then we will speak. Speak in praise and speak in witness. Well, in those three ways, I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for all of us, that we would have an obedient faith, a spirit-filled faith, a vocal faith as we go into this new year. Because we can know God like Joseph and Mary, like Simeon and Anna, as we bring praise to Jesus together. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that our faith might grow this year. We pray that would be true for us individually. We pray it would be true of us together. Please would you teach us your word and move our hearts to obey it. Please would you fill us afresh and more deeply with your Holy Spirit that we might glorify Jesus in our lives. Please would you give us the faith of an Anna who believed and therefore who spoke in praise and in testimony. And so, Heavenly Father, please glorify your Son this year in our church and bring many who do not yet believe into your kingdom in these next 12 months. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.